Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
Good morning, Village Church. I have the absolute honor and the privilege of basically preaching my final sermon here, at least as an elder. Who knows? Hopefully I get an invite back at some point. But I've got a very simple message on my heart, and it's one that I hope will be a blessing. I hope it'll be an encouragement, and I really do hope, even more so, that it'll be a challenge for all of us, myself included. But I thought it'd be cool just to share a little bit of the journey of planting Represent Church. I mean, it's been peppered and peppered here and there in the last little while. But I thought, As part of my message, I just wanted to start by sharing the journey. And no doubt if anyone here has moved away from somewhere, as the day approaches, you begin to reflect more and more on your time. So in this case, you know, as we're approaching Wednesday and moving to Perth and working at establishing Represent Church, you begin to reflect on your season here at the Village. And I arrived in Hamilton, New Zealand, and at the Village Church on the 31st of January, 2016. And that was the Sunday. I arrived on the Friday or the Saturday, and I came as a young 17-year-old with big dreams, long hair, and a lot of confidence. And if you're around, I look around and I see, you know, different families that I had the privilege of living with them for different months of the initial first few months. But lots of confidence. I say confidence. No doubt others around me thought possibly a little bit more arrogance than confidence. I see Jess is nodding her head. I lived with them for a month and a bit. But in all seriousness, I think there was just a cultural clash as a young South African moving to New Zealand, and I had to navigate that. And God's grace was good to me and good to those around me. But a few months before arriving in New Zealand, I knew that the family was moving to New Zealand, and we were leaving Joburg, and I love South Africa. I didn't want to go. I was fighting, actually. I was dragging my feet, saying, no ways, I've got my life planned out. I'm going to go and do this internship at this church, and then after that year, I'm going to study a BCom law, and then after 4 years, I'm going to work in the industry for 5 years, and then at 28, I'm going to study my MBA, and I'm going to get into the corporate world. I'm going to climb the ladder. I'm going to make good money for the kingdom. And I had my life sorted out. It was planned. Until my parents said, nah, we're moving and you have to come with us. And so, like I said, I was dragging my feet. But in about October 2015, just under 2 months before moving, I remember at the NCMI Global Equip. It was a conference where churches and all around the world came together. And I remember one session, my heart was just so stirred for the nations. And I was like, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, whatever you want me to go and do, I'll do it for you. Like, what nations are you sending me to? Thinking like maybe somewhere in Africa or like into Europe. And I remember clear as day, God spoke to me in that moment. And it was word for word, at least in my heart. What do you mean, Liam? I'm already sending you to New Zealand. And I was like, true, fair enough. And it was in that moment that there was a shift in my heart, and it moved from just being like a thing that my parents were doing and I was being forced to actually like, no, God is calling me to New Zealand to to serve his purposes. And that was the shift that I needed. Looking back, I was so focused on kind of building my own life and doing my own thing. And at that point, it was like my future career. And it shifted to like, nah, like God's sending me there. I want to go build his kingdom in New Zealand. And so grateful that God speaks in situations. So a few months after being in New Zealand, it was March 2016. I was here on the frontline discipleship program, and we had the opportunity to sit down with a guy by the name of Tony Saxon, who was just really prophetic. God would speak to him very clearly, and he prophesied something over me, and I had like a 20-minute time with him, and it's recorded, and I keep listening to it over the last 8 years, like, Lord, what are you doing in my life? How's this going to play out? And it was in that moment, at that point, when he prophesied things around the nations and around church planting, and it was then that my heart just, it burned for Australia and it burned to plant a church. And that was where this whole thing was birthed. March 2016, just over 8 years ago, where God spoke something. He put something in my heart and it was birthed. The nation of Australia and the desire to go and plant a church. But I knew timing was a thing. And so I just wanted to put my head down and just serve God's purposes wherever I was. And at that season, here in the village church. And fast forward to about October 2018, I was leading the youth here, and we're at the New Zealand Equip Conference in Auckland, and Tyron Daniel, who leads the NCMI team, he was preaching, and he was saying things around like, you know, God is a God who appoints both the place and the time that you would live, and he will put you in the right nation. So ask God, you know, and I knew my heart was for Australia. And I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, like, what do you, where? And I wrote it down on Apple Notes, which is why I know the like date and the time. And I just wrote, scout the land in Perth. That's all I wrote, just scout the land in Perth. And it was at that point where it wasn't just Australia, but it was the city of Perth that God had put in my heart. And as well as he put the name Represent in my heart as well. And so I was like, well, I'm 20 years old. I've just started, I was going to Australia a couple months later to go and ask Alana to be my girlfriend. We weren't even dating yet, but, you know, like it was so long ago, but God birthed something in me. And no doubt, even as I share my own story, we all have stories where God has put a call in your heart. He's got purpose for your life, but are we walking in it? Are we living? And so, like I said, I just put my head down and I did to the best of my ability, just serve the purposes of God, just give my best to God, number one, and give my best to the village in whatever the need was. Whatever it was, I was like, yes, Lord, here am I. And anyway, just to cut a long story short, fast forward to January 2023. And so you kind of think, man, things will move quick, but sometimes things take a while and God's like just building patience and perseverance in you. And so January 2023, we were on holiday in Adelaide and I was just praying. You know, to be honest, like I was becoming a little bit restless. I like to call it a holy restlessness. Maybe not always holy at times, but there was something in me I was a bit unsettled. I was like, God, you know, what's your call on our lives? When, you know, give me some clarity. And in that moment, January 2023, God just said, get readied, get readied. And I was like, awesome, Lord. Like I really felt that meant we needed to go. And so I'm like, God, give me more. Like, is there more clarity? And over the next few days, as I was just praying into it each day, just never got anything else. And so I was like, right, well, get readied. We're going to get ready. So we're going to put as much as we can in place. We're going to do as much as we can. We're going to get ourselves equipped and prepare ourselves for the call of God. And again, this is my context, but I just want to keep reiterating. We all have a call of God in our lives. There are the purposes of God that he wants you to serve in this generation. But are you preparing yourself? Are you walking in it? Are you positioning yourself to serve his purposes? And so we kind of with that said, well, Lord, we'll wait until you say more. And so a couple months later, March, we're in Adelaide again for an elders time. Our whole eldership team went. And Paul Zanotto, who did the last couple ordinations, he's a friend of this church. And he came up to me without any context and said, hey, mate, you know, like Big Zeddy gives you a big hug and a kiss on your head. And he's like, I got a picture. And I'm like, cool, like knowing, because I was praying, we're like, Lord, can you give someone prophetic to give us a word? And so, you know, who else has prayed those prayers when you're like looking for some clarity or confirmation? You're like, God, can you speak to me? Can someone come and say this or that? And so Zeddy came and he basically said, and some of you have heard this, but I see you holding a helium balloon, a massive, big, colorful helium balloon. And if anyone here has the prophetic meaning for the colors, you can come and chat to me after. I still don't know what that means, but we're holding this big, massive helium balloon, but there's no air in it. And the Holy Spirit would very soon, this is word for word, very soon, he would come and blow into the helium balloon. And as you hold onto the balloon, you will be transported very soon. And so I'm like, praise Jesus. He's just given me the confirmation that we're looking for. And so a few months later, July, we went to Australia for 9 weeks. We scouted the land. We were in Perth and our hearts began to burn for the place. Our heart burned for the people. We just think Perth is the greatest city on the earth. And that's a God thing, right? Because Hamilton, I said that about Hamilton for the last 8 years. Not before. I hadn't heard anything good, to be honest, from people who lived here. I'm like, how? This place is great. And so we were on that trip, and it was where God just birthed this vision in us that we would see the kingdom of heaven come in Perth and across the earth. And it's from that place that Represent Church has been birthed, that we just want to be not just about a church. We want to be about the King and His kingdom. And we want to see the kingdom come in that place. But to just say Perth is too small. Like, we want to impact the nations, because that's the mandate, to go to the nations. And so that was where it was birthed. And here we are now, 8 and a bit years later from that time that God really put this in our hearts. And so feels like it's just so exciting that all of this has kind of come to this point. But this has been my journey. And then back from Jan 2019, where Alana joined in on the journey. But we're all on an adventure. We're all on a journey. God's got us, hopefully, serving His purposes. And I just want to keep asking the question, like, what is the objective of your life? What is the objective of your life? Matthew chapter 6. I actually forgot driving this morning. I realized, I don't have slides behind me. So that's unfortunate for those who might not have a Bible with them. But I just want to read 2 verses from Matthew chapter 6 and then continue. And it's Jesus, He's teaching His disciples to pray. And He says this, and you can just listen. Don't worry about going there if you haven't got there yet. But He says, pray then like this. He's talking about prayer, teaching them. And then He says this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then He continues. What is the objective of your life? What is objective number one for God and His people? You know, coming out of this verse, I think it's pretty clear. You know, other than Jesus teaching His disciples to, number one, address Father God in their prayer, and then acknowledge that His name would be hallowed, that His name will be kept holy, that His name is holy. There's an addressing the Father. There's acknowledging His holiness. But the first sort of request is, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I'm of the conviction that the number one objective for God and His people is for God's kingdom to come to earth. That's the number one objective, that the kingdom of God would come to earth. This takes priority over every situation. It takes priority over every other need. It takes priority over every one of our ambitions or our goals in life. The number one objective for God and for His people, which includes you and I, is that the kingdom of God would come on earth. You know, the reason I think, there's a few reasons, but one of the reasons why Jesus came was that He would bring and could bring God's kingdom to earth. And as God's sons, and that includes men and women, we're sons, we receive an inheritance in Christ, but sons and daughters, we're sons, we're soldiers, we're servants. What for? To assist in the kingdom of God coming to earth. That's our objective. It takes precedence over earning money, over eating food, over raising a family. It takes precedence over everything. Now, can I say, eating food is necessary. Earning money is necessary. Raising a family is one of the greatest, godliest things we can do, raising a godly family. But that's not the objective. The objective is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And so again, I want to ask you, right now as things stand, not what we know in the scriptures, not what we know is the right now as things stand, what is the number one objective on your life? Right now, what really is the main objective in your life? And I ask myself that question. I've had a few days thinking about this, so I'm like real convicted. Matthew chapter 6:33 continues with a few different things. He finishes off the Lord's Prayer and then teaches into fasting, laying up treasures in heaven, not being anxious. And he ends with that thought with 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things, the eating and the drinking and the clothing that he talked about before, not to be anxious about. All these other things are added, and that's been our journey. We're seeking first the kingdom of God in this season, and God seems to just add all these other things. So when I talk about the kingdom, I'm talking about the rule and the reign of God, where God is just exercising his royal power and his ultimate authority in a family, in a situation, in a nation. It's the kingdom of God. And we call to seek first the king ruling and reigning on this earth. You know, in the Greek, the word seek is zeteo. Zeteo. And it means to desire. It means to strive after. It means to set one's heart on something. We're called to desire, to strive after, and to set our hearts on the king and his kingdom above all else. And so what are you seeking after today? What is your heart set on? Where is your desire? Are you more focused, and ask, are we more focused on advancing God's kingdom or adding to our own? Plural, me included. Are we more focused on advancing God's kingdom or adding to our own? You know, personally for me, I know at different points in the last years, there's been different points where, you know, there's just this battle with the flesh and God's spirit in me. Like, there's a hunger and a passion and a desire to serve him and obey him and be in his word and pray and just walk closely with him in relationship. But at other points in my journey, the flesh battles against it pretty hard, and my focus can easily shift from the kingdom of God and advancing his kingdom to adding and building my own little empire. And like I said, when I was 17, the focus was on career, and it was going to be the BCom law, then the MBA. And then, man, like, I'm not the NBA basketball. I'm way too short and I can't even do anything with the basketball. But an MBA, a Master of Business Administration, I was going to be the top dog in a corporate. And then at other points, it's been, oh, you know, like, kind of, God, I'm putting my head down, I'm charging after you. And then I saw Alana and I'm like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Good things, godly things. But is it... does it take first place? And then a couple years ago, you know, oh, crypto, I'm going to make a quick buck, and I'm going to just, for the kingdom, of course, it's for the kingdom. I'm going to make money on these investments, and, you know, I'm just going to serve the purposes of God. Not necessarily bad things. Now, I didn't buy in at the right time, but the Lord, anyway, I don't know if the Lord's trying to teach me something, but... my point is, none of these things are necessarily bad things. Actually, with the right focus, these can be incredible tools for the kingdom. And marriage is God's idea. And so don't hear what I'm not saying, but was I seeking first his kingdom? Now, I'm sure it can't just be me where the focus can so easily get off the king and his kingdom for all these other things. And we're trying to add to our own wealth and our own investment portfolio and our own family and our own this and our own that and our own shoe collection or whatever. Whatever your thing is, are we advancing his kingdom or adding to our own? I'm talking about what takes priority, because we can build wealth here, we can build a life here, of course, but is it subversive to the king, and is it to serve his purposes? In the book of Haggai, one of the minor prophets, couple more after them, and then it's into the New Testament. But we see an example of how God's people, they stopped seeking first his kingdom. Now, I suspect many in the room won't know Haggai and that book too much and the couple chapters that are there. But basically, some of the context we see from Ezra, from the book of Ezra, that the Israelites were taken captive by Babylon for about 70 years. But then Persia came, and with King Cyrus, I think it was, Persia defeated Babylon, and so that remnant of Jews that were captives in Babylon were then released by King Cyrus of Persia back to Jerusalem. All right, so that's kind of the context as quickly as I could do it. And it was now that they get back to Jerusalem, God kind of instructs them and gives them provision to rebuild the temple. And so the people start construction, but opposition comes and they stopped working. They stopped the work on rebuilding the temple. And it was actually about 14 years of not doing anything. And it was at that point where the people of God just continued on with their own lives. They were building wealth. They were building awesome homes. They had all these luxuries. And then God comes from via the prophet Haggai and speaks straight to that situation. And just one verse, Haggai 1 verse 9, he says this: "My house still lies in ruins while each of you is busy with his own house." Instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and building the temple, they got busy building their own little kingdoms. God wanted his temple built, but his people had become self-centered and preoccupied with their own luxuries. And you can go read the story and it aligns with Ezra, but I wonder if we've gotten busy doing our own thing. I wonder if we've gotten busy building our own little kingdoms and neglecting God's kingdom. And again, I'm not saying you only have to do the one and not the other, but the kingdom of God is the first thing we seek after, the first thing we build to. That's the priority. And yes, we build our own lives, but it's a tool for that. But what we see here is they completely neglected the kingdom of God. They completely neglected what God had said, and they were busy building their own houses, their own lives, adding to their own wealth. And God comes via the prophet and he challenges them. Just as I close, you know, a biblical truth that has really gripped me in this journey is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a couple verses, verse 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Jesus died and purchased us with his blood. I think 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, that we were bought with a price, which means my life does not belong to me anymore. Your life does not belong to you anymore, because he purchased us. He bought us with his own life and his own blood. And so for us who live in Christ, for us who respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sin, for eternal life, we receive life, but it's to live not for ourselves, but for the one who for our sake died and was raised. Who are you living for? What am I living for? I'm going to close with a little illustration. Can I have the three of you lads just come and hold this out? I've got it's a strop, is that right? It's a strop. So this is actually Daniel's strop. So if we can just stretch out the strop all the way and maybe just have you guys just, yeah, maybe. Oh, it might be a two-man job. Sorry, bro. So sorry. So over here, thanks, lads. Yeah, you can see we've got a strop now. It's a bit dirty, so you don't come and touch it. But I want you to imagine that this strop kind of represents just forever. It represents our existence forever and ever, right? So just imagine that it continues on and on out the door, around the world, like long as, and it represents our existence, all right? So just imagine that with me. And again, I'm speaking to the church. I'm speaking specifically for us as Christians who've received eternal life. This is our existence with God forever and ever and ever. But I want you to imagine that little red part. Daniel, lift it up there. You see that little red part? Now, this is not my illustration. I've borrowed it from somebody else. But that little red part represents our life here on earth. And then the rest of the blue, all the way out the door, around the world, that represents the rest of eternity. What part are we living for? Are we living our lives for the here and now? Are we living our lives only thinking about this short moment in history, this short moment of our existence, where every little decision, every thing that we strive after, every thing that our hearts are set on, is it all about that little red thing, that little aspect of our date of birth and the little dash and then the date that God calls us home? Are we preoccupied with that? Or are we living that part of our lives thinking about eternity? Because Scripture's clear that how we live now affects the rest of this. And again, I'm talking to Christians and it still affects the rest of this. Like unbelievers, that's a whole nother conversation. But I just want to specifically, because there's a thing called reward. Now, I'm not talking about a judgment of faith. I believe that when a believer dies, we will meet with Jesus, and that will be the judgment of faith, where basically anyone who has their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, they are saved. Salvation secure. And they will be with Jesus. And at the second coming of Christ, at the white throne judgment, I'm sorry to get into this, we can have a deeper conversation. There will then be the second judgment, the judgment of works. So salvation secure, judgment of faith. Judgment of works is then a matter of reward. And so depending on how we live our lives here will depend on what reward we receive. Are we living that small little section, whether it's 95 years or 50 years or 15 years? God will call people home, but are we living that little section just for that? Are we living it for that in mind? What are we living for? Who are we living for? Because the ways of the world is very simple, very clear. It's all about that little section. And it's very easy for us to be conformed to the pattern of this world, Romans 12. And so have our minds been conformed to just the here and now, the however long we have on this life? Or are we thinking and living with eternity in mind? Thanks, lads. Could I invite for all those able just to stand with me as I close in prayer? How are we living now? What are our hearts set on? Where is our desire? Are we more focused on the earthly treasure that Matthew 6 talks about? Are we focused on the earthly treasure that can be stolen and the moths can destroy it? Or are we focused on heavenly treasure? Are we living for rewards here on earth? Or are we living for eternal reward? Are our eyes fixed on the King and His kingdom or on our own? And I would have loved to get into it, but three things to assess: time, talents, treasure. Time, talents, treasure. It's a great way to evaluate our own lives and what kingdoms we might be seeking or building. What is our time focused on? What is our talents, our skills, our abilities? And then lastly, treasures, our finance, our wealth. Time, talents, treasure. Are we living for the King and His kingdom or seeking after our own? Father, I ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would just graciously challenge us, graciously correct us, graciously remind us of what the objective is. Lord, this life is short and maybe a little bit longer for others, but in the grand scheme of things, Lord, it's such a short existence here on earth in this life. So I pray in Jesus' name that you would help every single one of us, Lord, to just have a shift in our thinking, that we will live for eternity in mind, that we will live for your kingdom, because you have us on earth here as your ambassadors. So help us be good ambassadors. Help us represent you, Jesus, accurately and graciously, so that others who don't know you would be drawn, would be reconciled back. You tell us, you implore them, come back to God. So Lord, if there's anyone in this room, I pray you'd just be nudging their hearts, that you'd be just doing your work by your Spirit to bring them home to you. In Jesus' name, amen.